Welcome to the Development Podcast, a podcast that offers practical strategies to further develop yourself, your organization, and those around you. Learn how to maximize your influence by hearing from entrepreneurs, industry professionals, and business leaders share about their ideas and experiences. I'm your host, Martin Manosolvas. Thank you again for tuning in. Hi everyone, thank you so much for listening in. Today, I'm beyond excited to have the founder and CEO of Rise Up For You Leadership and Career Confidence Coach and TEDx Motivational Speaker, Natalina Nazardeen, here to discuss the importance of emotional intelligence. With over 10 years of experience as a college professor and a former top executive for an education corporation, Natalina understands the importance of fusing education, empowerment, and leadership together as she works with clients and speaks to audiences worldwide. She has toured the world as a singer, has a master's degree in administrative leadership, and has coached and mentored close to 50,000 individuals around the world on self-empowerment, career strategy, and soft skills. Natalina is well known for her TEDx talk, Commit to Workplace Transformation, People vs. Profits, and for her talk at Google's largest conference, Cloud Next 19, where she worked with tech industry participants and executives on career strategy, confidence, and leadership. Natalina, it's a pleasure to have you on my podcast. Thanks again so much for joining. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Martin, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here and speak to you and your community.
Absolutely. So can you start us off with just sharing a bit about your career journey and how emotional intelligence has played a role in that?
Yeah, thank you. So actually, my first career ever was as a performer. I used to tour the world internationally as a singer and a dancer. So similar to Broadway, you know, musical theater. And that's really where I noticed, first and foremost, that it wasn't about the technique that you had. That technique really only makes up about 20 to 25% of your success. But it was people skills, emotional and social intelligence, human skills, communication, confidence. That's really where I started to recognize the importance of it. You know, as a performer, when you step into a room with hundreds of singers that all sound the same, that all have incredible training, you know, dancers that all can do, you know, fouettes and pirouettes all the same, you know, there's got to be something else that defines you, right? That helps you build that success. That's really where I understood the importance again of emotional intelligence. But something really interesting is that after that career, you know, I became very fascinated with, you know, these people skills that we call them, or human skills. Mm-hmm. So I came back and I got my my graduate degree in executive leadership, and I became an executive for an education corporation. And I saw, you know, the same struggles happening in the corporate space that I thought for some reason were only limited to, you know, the performance world, because it's very competitive. You know, you're fighting to get that spot on stage. But no, the exact same challenges were happening in the corporate space with individuals that had PhDs, master's degrees, bachelors, you know, a lot of, you know, lack of, you know, fulfillment, self-doubt, lack of communication, toxicity in not only the corporate culture, but also in the individual's well-being. Sure. And so this is where I really recognized how important these skills were for an individual's success.
Really good. Thank you for sharing. And I'm curious, what are common misconceptions that you see people frequently make about emotional intelligence, and how would you respond to that?
Yeah. So the biggest misconception that I see, it's pretty common amongst a lot of people's skills, it's that they stop at the surface level, right? So when people say, oh, emotional intelligence is when you're able to identify and manage your own emotions, and then also identify, influence, and support the emotions of others. Well, that's true, but it's also very surfacey. The biggest misconception is that people don't understand the depth of emotional intelligence. It's four pillars, but under those four pillars, there's 18 competencies that really make up the bulk of challenges that we see today, not only in the corporate space, but also in someone's personal life. So whenever I hear somebody complain, or whenever I work with a corporate client, you know, we go into corporations and we help them enhance their culture, every challenge that we hear, it falls under emotional intelligence.
What would you say helps you teach people and help people? You know, you say people don't always understand the depth of emotional intelligence. How do you open their eyes to that?
Yeah. So the first thing is just going to be education, right? So here's really what emotional intelligence is, doing a deep dive into it. The second step that's super, super important is an assessment, right? So doing, so this is where people go wrong, is doing a self-assessment, but not stopping there. This is the hard part. Doing a self-assessment and then taking that same assessment and giving it to 7 people that you work with or that you see on a routine basis to do that same assessment on you. Now let's see if our perception of ourselves is accurate. So one of the biggest challenges with building emotional intelligence is that every single human being, including myself, has something called blind spots. So I always laugh when people say, oh, you know, I took this EQ exam and I got a 99%. And I say, well, that 99% is based off of your perception. I want to know if I take that same assessment and I give it to your 10 team members, is your score going to be the same? And that is really the key and critical component to building emotional intelligence, because the way that we see ourselves is not the way that other people see ourselves. So one is just education. You know, the second is now doing that assessment on yourself and then passing it on to others so that you can do a compare and contrast. And then based off of that, we can go into the third stage, which is actually implementation and activation. So now where you know some of the areas of opportunity for growth, let's pinpoint those areas and start building strategies for them. So for example, one of my key areas that I'm actively working on is empathy. So sometimes my empathy score comes back a little bit low. I'm a high functioner. I'm a self-motivated. Nobody needs to tell me what to do. I could do it on my own. And I'm not always the most understanding and empathetic when I come across somebody that's not, right? And I'm constantly working on it. It's an area of opportunity of growth for me. But so now I know that this is an area I need to work on. And these are now the strategies that I'm going to find to implement.
I think you have a good point in that the way that we see ourselves is not necessarily how others will view us as well. So it's important to be taking that into consideration when, you know, you're focusing on education, assessment, and implementation. So that's a really good point. So in a recent TEDx talk on workplace transformation, you stated individual well-being is at an all-time low and it's coupled with workplace dissatisfaction. There's a constant push and pull between companies, leaders, and their people. People want more from the companies they work for and companies want more from the people they hire. So last year alone, 3.5 million Americans quit their job every single month and 50% of the American workforce say they feel disconnection and unfulfillment. And the other 20 say that they feel flat out miserable. So I find that very interesting. And so I'm curious, can you expand more on what you meant by that and share how we can really enhance that sort of company culture so that it effectively supports individual and company well-being?
Yeah. You know, so the reality is, I mean, there's a lot of research. Gallup, has done the biggest research around this. So if anybody wants to look up that report, but there's been a number of companies that have researched well-being in corporate culture, you know, throughout the U.S., so specifically throughout America. And across the board and all the research that's been done, it's been about 70%. Even yesterday, I did an interview with somebody that their own company assessed 10,000 people. And I asked, out of those 10,000 people, and they did corporate culture, out of those 10,000 people, how many people said that they loved the company that they worked for? And even their company also came back with a 30% rate, meaning that 70% didn't like it, right? So we're seeing across the board pretty consistent scores. Keep in mind, we're in COVID right now. So imagine what it is today, right? It's probably a lot different because there's been a lot of stress and trauma that's happened due to the pandemic. But the challenge that we're seeing in the corporate space is that they have a very misinterpreted idea of what it means to provide positive culture. It's what I call cosmetic culture. And this is, I talked about it in the TED Talk. There's a lot of companies that are providing, you know, Taco Tuesday, bagels on Monday, a slide in the middle of the workspace. You know, there's companies that have like rock climbing walls and all of these things that are fun, but they're not necessarily building positive culture, right? They might be distractions or it might be hype or again, that cosmetic fix in the moment. But I always say it's also, it's similar to having, you know, like a hot partner, a hot boyfriend or a hot girlfriend. It's like, great, you know, for the first couple months, it's really great to look at. And, you know, it feels really awesome to be with somebody that's gorgeous. But then after a while, that doesn't hold. Like there's got to be sustainability. There's got to be communication. There's got to be positivity. There's got to be great energy. There's got to be leadership. And so this is the biggest, I mean, we work with corporations all the time and I constantly hear, well, Meta, we offer these benefits and, you know, we do every month, we do employee appreciation and we buy Grubhub. And then, you know, we built this help center and I'm like, yeah, that's not enough. Like all those things are only minor. If you don't have positive leadership and there's not mentorship and there's not kindness and there's not clarity and communication and opportunity for growth, it's just, you're just wasting your money. It's going to fall flat. So there really has to be a plan of how you're going to support your people. So there's got to be employee engagement. There's got to be employee development. There's got to be employee appreciation. All three of those things have to happen and they have to happen consistently, which means that as a company, we need to create a system to have that consistency. It can't just be the one-off mentor session. It can't be a 90-minute leadership training. Like we really need to infuse in the culture a consistent structure to maintain supporting our people.
Right. And Taco Tuesday sounds fantastic, but I think you're right in that, you know, those numbers don't lie. That's only minor and service level. We need to make sure we're digging deep and how we do that is focusing on that sort of employee engagement and development and appreciation consistently. So I love that.
And I've even, if you don't mind, Martin, me just chiming in one more time, I've even seen it do the opposite. So we've worked with teams where they've actually gotten resentful because they're not getting developed. They're not feeling like they're growing as a professional. They don't feel like they're getting the training and the mentorship. And so then they actually, unfortunately, they use it against the company. It's like, oh, you can go build this whole entire health center and you can spend money on, you know, tacos and bagels, but you can't invest in our growth. So it's a tricky game. So definitely there's got to be both for sure.
And employees want to know that, you know, the company is actually investing in them. They want them to be growing and moving up. It's not just staying in the position that they're in now. So I think that's such a great point.
Absolutely.
So to expand more on that, it's interesting how people who are emotionally intelligent have stronger relationships with people and are normally not as stressed or anxious because they're able to understand social surroundings and consider the feelings of other people. So I'm curious, can you share more about what the benefits of emotional intelligence are? Specifically in, you know, relationships too.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you pretty much summed it up. So research, and again, I really highly encourage everyone to research this even more beyond this episode, but research shows that only 20% of an individual's success is attributed to their technical skill. So that means your book skill, right? What we're learning in K-12, what we learn when we go to college. But really 80% of your success is defined by soft skills. Soft skills is emotional intelligence, right? So EQ or EI, however you want to call it, falls under soft skills. That's 80% of your success. Why? Because the 18 competencies that fall under emotional intelligence all have to do with self-awareness, stress management, confidence, how you feel about yourself, how you're able to manage yourself. And of course, how you build relationships and teach and mentor and guide others. And we know that in life, the most important things all come down to the relationship with yourself, the relationship with others, right? Everything else is not sustainable. So money is constantly changing. The world is constantly changing. And so you have to have positive relationships. You have to have, you know, a positive relationship with yourself in order to really build a positive life, both personally and professionally. Research also shows that 80% of disease that we see today is due to stress. Well, stress is a key competency of emotional intelligence, stress management, right? That's a key competency. Many individuals struggle with building confidence. In fact, based off of our research, we've reassessed over 1,000 professionals in the last 6 months alone, Martin, and 82% of them said their top challenge at work was feeling confident. Emotional intelligence, one of the core competencies, is confidence. So you can see that EQ is really, really important. And of course, all of us, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, if we were to pass away tomorrow, God forbid, we want to know that we made an impact in the world and that we had positive relationships. And that's what emotional intelligence can do for us.
So what would you say are the problems with having low levels of emotional intelligence?
The complete opposite. So self-sabotage, right? So you get in your own way of your success. You constantly put yourself down, depression, anxiety, poor relationships, a lot of ego that can potentially break your ecosystem around you. So like the friends eventually are going to walk away from you, right? Your job, I'll tell you one thing, the corporate clients that we work for, anytime they let somebody go, it's because of emotional intelligence. It's not because they weren't valuable in regards to their technical skill, right? So again, we work with corporations in 15 countries around the world. Every single time a company comes to me and says we had to let somebody go, it's because they didn't have EQ and they didn't want to, right? So they had poor communication, they had ego, they were unkind to people, they weren't collaborative. It wasn't because they didn't know how to do the job, right? And so, I mean, all of this stuff is proof in the pudding. So anybody out there right now, if you're struggling with your relationships or if you're struggling with feeling confident or, you know, you're really struggling with managing stress, emotional intelligence is going to help with all of that.
Very interesting status that some of your layoffs have been due to just emotional intelligence. So I'm curious.
Not some of them, all of them. So like every corporate client that we've worked with, mm-hmm. every single one of them, when they come to us and say that they're letting a team member go, it's because of a soft skill. It's not because they technically aren't doing the job well.
So how would you measure it in the workplace? And is there a way to be strengthening it?
Well, absolutely. And so, and this is actually what we do. So when we go into corporations and we work with teams, we give an assessment, right? And so we basically do a three-phase assessment, and the individual can do it as well. And then we do it on a larger level with the corporate team. So there's three phases of assessment that we're able to kind of see where the growth is. Now, keep in mind, as mentioned earlier, it's not a 90-minute leadership training, right? It's not a 90-minute EQ training. If you really want to create sustainable growth and you really want to build that muscle, the soft skill muscle or the human skill muscle, there has to be at least 60 to 90 days of repetition, implementation, education, so that we can change the behavior. Because emotional intelligence and soft skills all comes down to cognitive behavior. It all comes down to our behavior. And every single one of us, we have 20, 30, 40 years of programming, right? And so in order to shift how we communicate, in order to shift our thoughts about ourselves, in order to be better leaders, we have to take into account everything that we learned up until that point and how has it impacted us. So we do assessments. We do them in three phases. And, you know, well, we wouldn't be in business if you couldn't shift it, right? Otherwise, we would just be talking hype. But there are strategies that you can use to build emotional intelligence. But again, it goes back to in what area, right? So like what specific competency do we need some growth in? So some people will assess that they need more growth in their leadership. Other people will assess that they need to be more self-aware because they're not aware of how they come off to people, right? Some people have really, really low confidence. And so we need to give strategies specific to confidence. So that's where we start.
So kind of going off of that, some people may even argue that a concern often brought up is that emotional intelligence is that some people with high levels of it tend to overanalyze things and can become paralyzed in decision-making. So how would you respond to sort of that point of view? And do you think too much emotional intelligence may lead to problems?
No, I would have to disagree with that. And that's okay. So emotional. So again, that's a really, really great question. And because that's one of the misconceptions about this, that's one of the mistakes that people make when they learn about EQ is that they take one piece of EQ. But emotional intelligence is also positive decision making, right? And being able to take action. And so if somebody is building EQ, but they're crippling their ability to take action, that means that their EQ isn't fully developed. Right. And we find that with everybody, like all of us have areas of emotional intelligence that we need to build and grow upon. So if somebody has strong emotional intelligence, but again, they're not making decisions and taking action, that means that their leadership pillar, which is the fourth pillar, needs more work, which means that their EQ is not fully developed.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So in 1995, a well-known psychologist, Daniel Goleman, published New York Times bestselling book on emotional intelligence. And in his book, he stated that the most effective leaders are alike in one crucial way. They all have high levels of what is known to be emotional intelligence. It's mm-hmm. not that IQ and technical skills are irrelevant. They do matter, but they're only the entry-level requirements for executive positions. So research, along with other recent studies, clearly shows that emotional intelligence is at the core of leadership. Without it, a person can have the best training in the world, an analytical mind, and an endless supply of smart ideas, but he still won't make a great leader. And so I really do love that, because I think that he stated very well the importance of emotional intelligence and business leadership kind of working together and intertwining. So to expand more on that, can you share more on the importance of emotional intelligence and leadership?
Yeah. So, well, it's 1/4 of emotional intelligence, actually. So there's 4 pillars of EQ. There's 4 pillars. There's 18 competencies. So the first pillar is self-awareness, starting with the self. There's 3 competencies that fall underneath that: emotional awareness, self-awareness, accurate self-assessment, confidence. Okay. So again, emotional awareness, accurate self-assessment, confidence. That's the first pillar. The second pillar is self-management. This is all things that have to do with motivation, stress management, controlling your reactions, resilience, optimism, growth mindset, transparency. So as you can see, the first two have to do with the self. Then we go to the next two pillars. The third one is social awareness. So this is where empathy comes in, organizational awareness, right? And then servitude. So having a service values, like when you're dealing with clients and under other individuals. The fourth pillar is leadership. It's all things leadership. So this is where we have conflict resolution, teamwork, leadership, coaching, mentorship, creating relationships. So, I mean, Daniel Goleman is one of the pioneers of emotional intelligence, right? I mean, he made it popular. So if you go online and you type in emotional intelligence, he's most probably going to pop up. And he's absolutely right. And that's because, again, 25% of emotional intelligence, one full pillar is dedicated just to leadership alone. And so if we're not able to build relationships, if we're not able to coach, if we're not able to mentor, if we're not able to manage conflict, then we're really going to struggle with being a leader. And that's the challenge that we see today in the workforce, is because sometimes leaders get promoted or individuals get promoted because they were really strong in sales, right? Maybe they were really innovative with their idea, but that doesn't mean that they're a leader. That just means that they're really strong or maybe an expert in their competency. But the second you put them into leadership, that means that they have to build a whole new strength of working with people. And that's where emotional intelligence comes in.
So kind of going off of that and expanding more on just emotional intelligence, it involves also just the ability to notice, identify, and be understanding of our emotions and how we react. So I'm curious, how can we ensure that emotions don't get the best of us in certain situations? And, you know, if we know how we're going to react in, let's say, under pressure or when things aren't going very well, you know, under stress, how do we ensure that those emotions don't get the best of us?
I like to always have walkaway statements or back pocket phrases.
That's good.
And what that means is that having like 3 to 5 phrases that you can always pull out right away, right? That are kind of on autopilot, so that you can walk away or remove yourself from the situation so that you can pause, breathe, think, and then come back. Okay. So being able, for example, to say, you know what, I'm feeling a little bit frustrated right now. Give me a few minutes and let me come back to this. Or, you know what, I need a little bit of time to process. I'm going to go for a quick walk. I'm going to take a few minutes and then let's readdress this in a couple hours. So having those phrases so that, again, you can take a step out of the situation. Otherwise, you're going to continue to escalate. You're going to escalate. You're going to get triggered. And then it's like this pattern and this cycle that you can't stop, that's eventually going to get really ugly. When we see it in romance, we see it in the corporate space, we see it with friendships. So having some of those phrases where you can say, again, you know what, I'm feeling frustrated, or I don't have the answer right now. I'm feeling triggered. I need a couple minutes so that I can gather my thoughts, get some fresh air, and then let's come back and readdress this. Now that gives people space. It gives people space to breathe, to calm down, right? And to pull the logic in. That's the beautiful thing about emotional intelligence. It's connecting the heart and the head, right? And so if we have too much emotion and we just respond with that, then we get into trouble. If we have too much head and we only respond with the head, then we're not relatable, right? There's no empathy. And so we have to really merge the two.
I guess I never really thought about that. It's kind of having those phrases sort of prepared and just in case, because I think you're right. And I think it takes a lot of discipline to recognize that, you know, if you're in a very stressful spot, if you're highly under pressure, if you respond to those moments, it may not be the wisest thing.
Right.
So it's important to acknowledge that. So I think that's such a great point.
Absolutely.
So as we conclude, are there any final thoughts around emotional intelligence that you'd like to share?
No, I mean, I guess my final thought is go take action, you know, learn about it. It's a very valuable skill. And I don't know one person that, you know, has denied that. But I do know a lot of people that don't learn it or that don't implement it. And so, you know, one of the parts of EQ is taking action, is being motivated. So I would say go do more research, go learn about it, start implementing it. We have a free emotional intelligence kit that I'd love to offer, Martin. It's 16 pages of a workbook. I mean, you can literally download it and start writing it and typing in it. So I think that would be really awesome. If you don't mind, we can put it in the chat. But it's just riseupforyou.com/EQ kit. And you can instantly download it, 17 pages.
It's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And I'll certainly include that under the post and the link to that for people can access that. So thank you. And I think you're right. It's important to be taking action and this being motivated with this. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you again for your time. This has just been very helpful to kind of see from a different perspective. Listeners, if you have any questions, please contact us with those questions. But with that, thank you everyone so much for listening and have a great day.